Yeah, I'm carrying all kinds of contraband, I'm sure.
And bottles too, right?
What are you going to do with all these wedding dresses? They're for my granddaughter, Ange. What are you going to do with all this sound equipment? I'm here to teach. All right, so we are in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. And Paul had picked up the parallel passage in Colossians, where let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Thank you so much. So I am on chloroquine. Which is a malaria prophylactic. And it makes me dizzy. Gives me vivid dreams. And also manages to make me parched. So thank you. I was getting dizzy and shaky. I hate malaria medicine, but it's the medicine is better than the illness, I'm sure. All right, so in this passage, we are in a series of imperatives. It's the sermon title is What to Do in Evil Times. And the times in which we live, I would say, qualify as evil. If you're on my mailing list, I sent out an article about the calculated, profound, well-funded evil that we're seeing going around us all the time. And in fact, we've all developed other ways of finding out information that doesn't rely on CNN or mainstream media. And frankly, I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know that it's possible to come up with things. I was reading an article where CNN had not live streamed a single Trump rally until the one where there was the attempted assassination. I don't know if that's true or not. You know, I don't know. There is so much misinformation that it's almost impossible to come up with any conclusions about anything. And so I'm really thankful for the indwelling spirit that will guide us and protect us and help us. You know, when you're not sure about what to do, pray about it. You know, if you're not sure what to believe, pray about it. And the Lord will help us understand. You know, we've come through an incredible time with unbelievable stuff going on with COVID. And who knows what to believe about COVID. And those who are now advocating that Trump doesn't need a bandage on his ear, which was shot with a bullet, are the same ones who are wearing masks in cars when they're by themselves. You know, give me a break. But we are living in evil times. And the solution here is not Trump. He might help set things right in a temporary way, but we have got to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayer needs to be that all of our leaders come to a knowledge of Christ and come to a knowledge of the truth. Our God is a saving God. He loves to save people. And we pray for our leadership because if they become believers, things go better for us than if they're pagans. But in this section, I have actually tentatively come to a different understanding of this passage. It may be that in the times past, I've always taught it separate. It may be that I came to understand the context of the millennium in chapter 5, where he quotes Psalm 60 in verse 14. So he talks about the walking as children of the light in verse 8. We covered that last week. I'm not sure why, but I've actually moved in a little different direction, and I'll share that with you. So what do you do in evil times? First thing you do is you watch how you walk. That's in verses 15 and 16. Let's look there. Therefore, in light of the coming kingdom, that was verse 14, I'm in verse 15. Therefore, watch out. Watch out. Be very careful. This is a present imperative. Y'all be watching carefully how you're walking. And he wants you to be watching, walking in a diligent or a mindful manner. So walking mindfully, walking diligently. So it's not just the command, watch out. Therefore, watch out how you are walking to make sure it's a diligent walk. Not as unwise or foolish, but as wise. And then after the imperative, it's followed with a participle. And, you know, when you're dealing with present tenses, you can't tell whether it's the middle voice or the passive voice. Okay, the middle voice is, I am tying the shoes for myself. I'm involved in the process. Passive voice, it's done for you. You know, and when I'm working here during the school year, I'll see some of our little kids with their untied shoes, and I'll stop and have them put their foot on my knee, and I'll tie their shoe for them, put a double knot on it. That is being done to them. Passive voice. If they were able, they would have tied their shoes themselves. Middle voice. So this, they're involved with the process. So he's saying here, watch out. There's your imperative. And be careful how you're walking. Not as foolish, but as wise. Now, this buying up for yourselves all the time that can be bought. That's one word here. Buying up all the time that you can. In evil times, buy it up for yourself. For this is an explanation with this participle of the command, watch out. This is how you need to watch out. Making the best use of your time as possible. And so this is something you should be being careful of. I left my phone over there. Too bad. Do you realize how much time you spend on the phone? How many of you have read more than 10 reports that fall into the category of conspiracy theory? I'm there with you. You know, gentlemen, you take your phone into the bathroom, you know, you are there forever. Just think of all the wonderful conversations you could have had with your wife instead of spending all that time scrolling through the phone. It's actually a joke. You're supposed to laugh at that, but it's probably too close to serious. There is someone who said, your wife gave birth to 3 children in the time that you're in the bathroom on your phone. But the redeeming the time, buying up all the... I sit down in the morning. I get up usually 6 o'clock, you know, and I get a cup of coffee. And by the time I'm through my emails, and by the time I'm through Facebook, and oh, there's a really cool story about this, I've wasted an hour. And so have you. You know, how could that time have been better spent? And those are personal questions, and I don't want to get into this, okay? Because you have to make these decisions. But I promise you this, when times are evil, you spend more time doing useless stuff, not less time. Why? Well, because the time you spend doing games on your computer or on your phone or whatever, that kind of stuff, it is an anesthesia for the uncertainty of life. So instead of dealing with the emotions of, man, our society is really a mess, we need to pray, you spend time doing other stuff because it's an anesthesia, so you're not spending painful time trying to figure out what's going on. I don't know all the reasons why. But his tie here is very clear. Buy up for yourselves all the time that can be bought because the days are evil. So I think Paul understands this. Watch how you walk by making good use of your time. Imperative followed by a middle participle. That's important as we look at the structure here as we go forward. All right, the second thing he says, and I'm going to get to stuff that's less convicting. I probably should be doing devotional reading, just picking up my Bible and reading it. Why is that so hard and reading my phone is so easy? I don't know. There's some books in my library that tell me all the endorphins and all the scientific stuff with it, but probably because my phone completely captures my attention and it's rapidly changing. So my brain doesn't have time to sit and lose interest because I just swipe to the next thing that catches my attention. Whereas reading or writing, you have to be focused. Maybe that's what it is. And why would I want my brain to not be focused and have longevity to it? Because the times are evil. Plus, the older I get, no offense to anyone else, maybe you're different, the older I get, the easier it is to sit and not move. Because everything, you know, Marvin's now, his doctor said, you're at an age, he's over 40, where you start losing muscle and you need to start an exercise program. So he went and lifted weights and he hasn't moved those muscles for a week now. I told him I'm on an exercise program. At my age, lifting weights is getting out of the chair. Be careful how you do it. Don't do it too many times. Do you see that down there? One of my grandkids on Friday, John, he was trying to grab a little cherry tomato and it popped away from him and landed on the floor. He's handicapped, so he has an excuse. His tomato's down there on the floor in front of me. I didn't pick it up. You know what I did? I waited for Marvin, little Marvin, to walk by. I said, little Marvin, grab that tomato. Why? Because it's a long ways down there. So age and evil probably ought to be addressed in the same sentence. And we are constantly battling against an evil culture and getting older, and that takes the Spirit of God to help us watch how we walk by making good use of your time. So this morning, I wondered whether I was making good use of my time. I had my cup of coffee, and I went out and I stood in the midst of my apiary, which has 6 beehives in my backyard now. Only supposed to have 3, but it was a real cold, rainy fall, and I couldn't move them. And they're such nice bees. They're all buzzing around, and I picked up a hive out of a sprinkler box in Frisco, you know, and got the queen and all the comb and put that in, and, you know, boy, she's a nice queen. She's filled up the frames with brood, and now I have little baby bees that are coming out looking around for the first time. And is this redeeming the time? And I decided, well, I think it is. So you have to make these decisions. But the text here is saying in evil times, the temptation is to not make good use of your time. Make your decisions. Number two, let me look at this next one, verse 17. So we finished through verse 16. Verse 17, because of this, or therefore, stop being foolish. There's your imperative. So stop being foolish be having understanding of whatever the wishes of the Lord is. The wish of the Lord is the will of the Lord. So he says, stop being foolish. There's your imperative. And then you have this participle. By understanding, by thinking in terms of what pleases the Lord. So this is your second thing that you do when you are in difficult or evil times. The first is you watch how you walk by making good use of the time. Now, he says, you stop being foolish by spending time thinking about what would please the Lord, the wishes, not the bulomai, but the thello. What would God have me to do? Now, in one sense, we do this all the time. Lord, what do you want me to do today? What is it that's well-pleasing to the Lord? But in evil times, we stop thinking about that because we assume that God is no longer in control and that the world is absolutely impossible, a mess. We have no hope. We have no Savior. And we get caught in the circumstances around us, whether it's business or politics or personal relationships, whatever it is. So, you know, we stop being foolish by focusing our attention. Well, what would be a godly thing to do? What is pleasing to the Lord? Now, that's not always easy. Just recently here, I received a request from Aniset to buy sound equipment for the church, churches, plural, and it will also be used by their children who run all the music for the churches. And so we're all in as a church. We spent our $20,000. $10,000 this year. Sent two checks of five. Last year, total, we spent 20, but that's because of the footprint. The 10,000 we spent last year, we spent five on Grace Life, and we spent five on other stuff to help the ministry. This year, we either reduced the number or we spent 10,000 with Grace Life, and Aniset can buy whoever they wants, invite whoever he wants. So that's what we did as a church. And now we get a request, an additional $1,800 for sound equipment. So I said no to it for us as a church. And then I talked to Charlie and Steve as Grace Initiative for Burundi, because we do have the money there. And Charlie said, it's outside of the purpose of that corporation. Marvin, write a very nice, polite letter and say no. So I did. Okay? And then Sarah, she says, I think we should do this. And I said, no, we're all in, but I will pray about it. Okay? I will pray about it. Last Sunday morning, during our practice, we played Ancient Words, and God got a hold of me. Tears were streaming down my face in practice, messed me up for the whole service. And I said, fine, Lord, we'll do this. One way or the other. And you know what? Aniset called me. You may remember, those of you who went to, El Norte. No, Ojeda's last week. He texted me, WhatsApp. And he said, can you call me? And I said, give me an hour. And I called him from my truck. He said, Marvin, we really need this sound equipment. Would you please take the money out of Grace Initiative for Burundi, bring it to me as salary, and I'll pay you the money for the sound equipment? And I said, I can't do that. One, because it's circumventing the wishes of the board. That's just robbing one out of the... So I can't do that. But no worries. God already took care of this. Oh, good, he says. And that afternoon, I ordered it. So you can pray that I can get through customs, through 14 checkpoints, literally, with an absolutely awesome sound piece. Josh Jenkins upgraded what they had asked for, and it is amazing. I was showing it off to our kids on Friday night, but I'm going to have to hand carry that onto the airplane. So where does this come from? What will be pleasing to the Lord? Well, this is what the Lord wants to do. Why? Because of the confirmation in the ancient words, the confirmation of Aniset calling, and here we are ready to go. I have to go to Home Depot and buy some bungee hooks. What is pleasing to our Savior? Can Sarah and I afford this? Well, yeah, we can. Absolutely. Well, why don't I want to do it? Because I'm in evil times, you see? And in evil times, you restrict expenses. You don't expand. You don't be generous. You restrict everything. Is that what the Lord wants? Well, not in this case. So watch how you walk. Stop being foolish by thinking in terms of what pleases the Lord. Imperative, participle. Now, next imperative. Stop getting drunk. Here's a fun one. And this is a middle imperative. And stop making yourselves drunk with wine, in which is prodigal living, dissipation. It's a general term used in Luke 15 for, look up here, alcohol is not your friend. Scripture absolutely has a place for alcohol and strong drink. Proverbs, give the strong stuff to the person who's dying. Why is that? Because there's no meritorious value in mindless suffering. Interesting, God's view of death and end of life issues. Okay? As a chaplain, I worked with the doctors. They had a team of people, doctors and nurses and chaplains and healthcare professionals, and this palliative care end of life thing. And the people that were in that field were talking to the doctors and saying, oh, you mix these prescriptions together, you can do that? I never thought of that. Yeah, it greatly reduces pain. Everything right with that. But by and large, alcohol is not your friend. It doesn't help you walk with the Lord. So this general term, he says, stop making yourselves drunk. Now, does it say don't drink? No, it doesn't. Is it okay to drink? Come on, is it okay to drink?
Yes.
Okay, well, stop being drunk. That's the prohibition. So you have to know when to stop. When do you stop? Sometime before you get drunk. I was at a church in France. I don't even remember what city. They sent us over there. So Amy, Sarah, and it was near the end of our 3 months there, 100 days there. And my daughter, Amy, stood up and they had a translator for her. She gave her whole testimony in French. So Amy, when she realized she was speaking in French, she got embarrassed and saw the translator just standing there. And so she shifted to English a little bit and then went back to French. I thought, man, to have a brain of a 17-year-old, oh my. But we had a meal on the grounds, and there are Antillean French people. The French Antilles. They are French through and through. French educational system, French health codes, French culture, French society. But they're Antilles. They're blacks. Okay? I spoke in two Antillean churches. One, it was all Antillean, and there was probably one of the largest churches, and it was in Crete, and there was 150 French believers. That's unheard of. For a French church, unheard of. In the south of France, there's some large ones, but up in the Paris area, it's unheard of. And so this is a European French and Antillean French church. And I looked down at this long table we were eating outside, dinner on the grounds, literally. And it's just a lovely French dinner. And you look down the table. I was sitting at the head of the table with our handler, our translator. They always stick someone with you so you don't wander out into traffic in these foreign cultures. And so I look down the table and I see all of the European French have glasses of wine. And not a single one of the Antillians have a glass of wine in front of them. So I said to her, I said, why is it that all the European, the white French, and there is no racial issues in France. Now, there are now starting to have some North African Muslim issues, but it is very common. The pastor's wife was black. So, I mean, it's not America. It's completely different worldview. But you look down the, and I asked the houndor, I says, why is that? And he says, oh, they don't know when to stop, so they don't ever start. So this is a personal issue that you have to come to grips with. But he says here, stop making yourselves drunk with wine, in which is prodigal living. But rather, now here's where I've shifted. I had always translated this as a passive imperative. Be being filled by the Spirit. But as I studied this in this light, it really fits a lot better. Be filling yourselves in Spirit. There's no article here. And then he goes on in the next verse talking about pneumatikos. When you have that kos on the end of a Greek word, it means of this sort, of this kind. So it very well may be that what he's doing is saying, stop making yourselves drunk with wine. Don't look to alcohol for help. But the next point, but do fill yourselves in Spirit. Do I think he's speaking about the Spirit of God? Absolutely. But the parallel passage in Colossians doesn't use the term Spirit. It says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. And it may be that between the Ephesians and the Colossians passage, one coming from one direction on the route, one going from the other on the mailing route, that he's really looking at a quality of life which doesn't look for the next drink, but rather looks at the next opportunity to fellowship with the Spirit of God. So the imperative, I think, is but be filling yourselves with Spirit. With the Spirit, you can add the article, though the Greek doesn't. But then he puts participles together here that go all the way through the end of our passage, verse 21. And we'll look at them, but I'm going to summarize it before we do. But be filling yourself in spiritual things, putting effort into walking in the Spirit. So he wants us to be actively involved in this process, and the participles that follow the imperative are giving us means or examples would probably be a better way of doing it. And I've summarized, there's four examples of what he means by filling yourselves with the Spirit and with spiritual things. Verse 19, speaking, participle, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs of a spiritual kind. You know, Wesley, Charles Wesley had a great music career. And one of the wonderful things he did was take the British bar songs. I don't know if you realize it, but the Brits do a great job of coming up with rhymes and sayings. This last year I got hooked on following Newcastle soccer team. And every so often we'll have a genuine Brit show up at the Londoner for the soccer game, and he'll shout the same chants that are going on in the football stadium. You know, I wouldn't know what they're saying. Even with captions on, it doesn't make any sense at all to me. I don't have that culture. But Wesley took these bar songs and he put them to spiritual words because everybody already knew the tune. Not so long ago, we practiced a music choir practice, the national anthem. And so we sang the national anthem for you on some Sunday, and we did it in four-part harmony. And I told Paul, I says, we need to, it was near the end of the month, I said, I need something else in my brain, because all week long I've been going over the tenor part for the national anthem. Give me something spiritual. And we did. But this idea of singing back and forth. This is with each other, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs of a spiritual kind. Participle, I put these two together. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the singing, where you can hear yourself, making melody in your heart, that you're going over these music songs. When I was a young person, the year before Sarah and I got engaged, I ended up in California by myself, stuck in a house sitting over the summer, working with open air campaigners, doing evangelism on the street with a full-time missionary who was kind of supposed to watch over me. And we would do 5 to 6 meetings a day. Saw lots of people saved on the street, open-air evangelism. Couldn't get them into churches, which is why I went into evangelism in the local church. But I'm stuck, a young man, in California, by myself in Baldwin Hills, in this house. What do you do to keep your sanity? The answer is, I had a hymn book. And I'd sit down with that hymn book, and I'd sing through every song in that hymn book, singing, making melody in my heart to the Lord. Why? Because I'm on the front lines doing evangelism. I'm by myself. My parents are elsewhere. My sweetheart's elsewhere. How do you keep your focus on Christ? Well, this is how. So, you know, set your mind, put your effort into walking in the Spirit with spiritual talk and spiritual songs. And this next one is so cool. Verse 20, giving thanks always. Huper ponton. Say that together. Huper ponton. Huper ponton. Again, huper ponton. Greek. On behalf of everything. In evil times, how do you walk and focus your attention on spiritual things? By giving thanks. In the presence of the angels, in our church, giving thanks for Joe Biden. And what's her name? Kamala Harris. Because our God has all knowledge. Our God has all power. Our God is omnipresent. And He only, always, continually does good. So you can give thanks, huper ponton, on behalf of everything. Even the things that you would very much like out of your life. Whatever that is, think about it, identify it, and give thanks to the Lord for it. Because this is what you need to be absolutely useful to God. Paul's demon, the angelos, the messenger, the angel from Satan. He sought the Lord 3 times. What did God say? My strength is sufficient. Therefore I'll glory in my weakness. Because you need this, Paul. Otherwise, you'd be impossible to live with and useless to me, having been exalted to heaven and seen things that are unspeakable. That means he can't talk about it. Those who have been to heaven and come back, they shouldn't talk about it. They probably haven't been. You need this. So he says, I'll give thanks to God for it. Giving thanks in the midst of evil times helps you not do stupid things like getting drunk, and it helps you put the Spirit where He should be in control of your life. And this last one here, submitting. I better finish this. Giving thanks always on behalf of all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. So he loads this up in the theology of who Christ is, the Lord Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior, who blazed the trail, and the Heavenly Father, who always, only, continually does good. So when times are evil, man, we drop this giving thanks immediately. And the last one here, submitting ourselves or yourselves, this is that middle imperative again, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. Nothing works better for walking in the power of the Spirit than submitting to each other and giving thanks and focusing our internal person on the Holy Spirit and the wishes of God. This week, Aniset wrote me about translators. And I wrote him back and I said, "You know best, I'll follow your leadership." And he immediately wrote back and said, "We are going to walk with the Spirit and figure this out." And the way it turns out is I only need one translator, not two. Why? Even though it's a full day's adventure? Because they don't have to translate the sermons. I don't care what these guys are saying. I want to know what their classmates say about what they said. So they don't have to translate for the whole period. Less work, less money. We have to pay the translators. So I have the same translator all the whole week. I hope I get Duodena. He's great. All right, we need to quit. Here's what do you do in evil times? In evil times, we don't jump on spiritual landmines. That's the main thing. There are these spiritual landmines that are all around us, and evil times, the temptation is to go over and then start jumping on them. Don't do that. Don't jump on spiritual landmines like wasting time and getting drunk, both of which are characteristic of those who are in Adam. Wasting time and getting drunk. Rather, think about what pleases the Lord and increase your spirituality. All right, let's have a song and go to Country Burger.